Nightlife. Bite-sized history.
Have you ever had your fortune told? Perhaps your palm or your tarot cards read? Did it predict a tall, handsome stranger about to come into your life? A voyage across the seas, perhaps? Fortune-telling is an occupation almost as old as civilization. There's evidence it was going on back in ancient Egypt and China and Babylon. It's something that women in particular have turned to as a form of employment over the millennia. Fortune-telling, though, was technically illegal in Australia during the colonial period. It had a massive upswing in popularity in the years after Federation, leading to police crackdowns on the practice. Dr. Ilana Piper is the Chancellor's Postdoctoral Research Fellow at the Australian Centre for Public History at the University of Technology. And she's been looking at the history of fortune-telling, and she's our guest tonight on Nightlife. Ilana, good evening and welcome to Nightlife.
Thank you, Phil.
So, fortune-telling was technically a crime in the early days of the Australian colonies. Why? And did anyone pay much attention to prosecuting those who practiced it?
Yeah, it's a funny situation. It was inherited as a crime under English vagrancy laws that date back to the Elizabethan period. So although it had been on the books throughout the colonial period, no one really did pay much attention to it here in Australia during the 19th century until there was this massive upsurge in popularity that you were talking about in the early Federation period from about the early 1900s. This was not just in Australia, all around the world saw this massive sort of craze for fortune telling. You could have it told a variety of different ways, from crystal gazing to tarot card readings, divination, have your face read, your bumps on your scalp read. There were a variety of ways that it was done and being.
What was
offered.
It all about? Was it to do with? What was in the air, as it were, that made people so keen on fortune telling?
Well, this was also the era of the rise in spiritualism, a sort of questioning of the old religion or religious traditions. But fortune telling, it wasn't just associated with spiritualism. Much more generally, it was seen as a form of popular culture. It was pre-cinema, pre-TV show eras. This was something fun that, for $2, you could go have your palm read and be entertained with your friends for half an hour.
Okay, so it was kind of trendy.
Yeah, absolutely. Very trendy. And amongst all classes too. It was, something that was being done at church fetes. It was very popular with politicians even. Their wives would organise balls and have a fortune teller in attendance.
Why was it against the law? I suppose because it was anti-established religion, was it? Some sort of Satanism, was it?
Absolutely. So originally it had come in when fortune-telling and witchcraft stopped being a crime because, witchcraft was no longer believed in. It was brought in at the exact same time that sort of witchcraft was decriminalised, but it became a crime under the Vagrancy Act then and was seen to be associated with sort of gypsies in England behaviour.
So it was aimed at the gypsies, was it?
Well, yes, principally, but also it was seen as a form of fraud by anyone who was engaging in this sort of behaviour. So it was a two-pronged thing. It was trying to get rid of drifters and rural vagrants who are sort of using this as a way to make a living as they're going from town to town, and also to protect a sort of gullible public was the rationale. This was protecting the working classes in particular. And all this sort of stuff gets brought up when it becomes such a craze again in Federation Australia.
Was it mainly palm readings? Because there were spiritualism, as you know, was something that pervaded all levels of society, didn't it? I mean, the upper classes were very much into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so seances and both just to contact those who had departed, but also divination and fortune telling by contacting dead spirits. There was, many fortune tellers, including ones here in Sydney who had guides. So there was a woman here in Sydney, Mary Scales, who was probably the most famous fortune teller in Australia during this period. And she had a Native American guide who used to contact her and relay messages from the spirit world to her customers.
Tell us about her. She's an interesting character, Mary Scales, isn't she?
Yeah, absolutely.
And she actually made quite a living out of it, didn't she?
She made a fortune out of it.
Tell me about who she was, what she did.
Yeah, so she was an illiterate washerwoman who was basically a laundress, and she got a contract working for the Navy and taking in, when naval ships were in port, taking in the washing and doing the laundry. And that's how she sort of got her line into fortune telling, in that she befriended a captain of the ship who was quite high up in the Navy, read his fortune. He was impressed by it, and she ended up getting quite a sort of wealthy, influential clientele amongst Sydney political figures and families.
Why has fortune-telling basically been women's work? Or why was it basically women's work?
Well, I think for a lot of reasons. It was associated with something unseen. It was mainly patronised by women, as well as being performed by women. So I think that there was an appeal and sort of a feeling that it was associated with, you know, a sort of sacred feminine and a sort of older religious tradition, the tradition of the wise woman, the village wise woman, that people would go to. It has old associations with midwifery, and related to that also with abortion and contraceptive knowledge, which was another reason that fortune tellers in Federation Australia were sort of looked at askance sometimes, is that it continued to have those sorts of connections.
Okay, so it becomes quite popular. In fact, people set up shop fronts, don't they?
Yeah.
This is even though it's illegal.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what happens? What do authorities do about it?
Yeah, so you know, it was very blatant. It had shop fronts, as you say. It was also being advertised in newspapers. At the same time, newspapers were sort of lambasting the practice and saying this shouldn't be going on, police need to crack down. The newspapers were also accepting money to run the advertisements that many women were putting in. But in terms of the crackdown, it was mostly the police were quite reluctant to actually crack down, but they were under so much pressure from newspapers who were very against the practice, in part because...
What was the opposition, though? Why were people opposed to it?
Yeah, in part because it did have that association with women. It was sort of seen as being a foolishness of the weaker sex, was very not in keeping with the sort of Australia that Australia wanted to be, the Federation period.
Really?
Which was, yeah, a sort of nation of forward-looking white men, men of reason.
Men of business.
Yeah, you know, a rational society. Mm-hmm. It wasn't religious objections based. It wasn't morality based. It was... purely sort of put forward in these sort of rational terms, that this is a form of fraud, taking advantage of the foolishness of women, of working class people who don't know any better, that there needs to be protection for these people, and that the women who are doing this are basically grasping harpies.
It wasn't seen, was it seen as licentious in any way? I mean, women who told fortunes didn't also provide other services, did they, or not?
Not themselves. Mm. There were rumours that the newspapers put about. So it was rumoured, for instance, that this was potentially a front for white slavery, that you know, young girls would visit the fortune teller and the fortune tellers would use this to encourage them to, you know, pursue relationships with young men against their parents' wishes, or you know, funnel them into brothels potentially, that this would be a front for that sort of activity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, interestingly, World War One was kind of the peak of that thing, wasn't it? Was that to do with the war, do you think, or what?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a major time of uncertainty. It's a major upsurge in spiritualism as a practice as well at the time, because people are losing loved ones, many loved ones, or even if they're not lost yet, are facing uncertainty about what's happening. Mail is very slow getting out. It's very hard to get news. So visiting the fortune teller potentially was a means of getting reassurance that you couldn't get anywhere else. So there was another upsurge. Well, there had already been sort of an upsurge in popularity, but the war really reached its zenith, and it also reached the zenith of police crackdowns.
How did police crack down on it? I mean, they have to find you. What, did they go and get their fortunes told and say,
huh? Absolutely. So in order to successfully prosecute, it wasn't enough to sort of have an advertisement saying that this person's a fortune teller. You actually had to have evidence that money had changed hands to get that. Mm-hmm. Police had to go undercover. But the problem was, at this time, most police were men and most fortune-telling clients were women. So fortune-tellers very soon became savvy to potentially undercover policemen coming in and started to refuse male clients to try and prevent getting evidence against them. So because of that, the police started hiring, and this is before World War One even, they started to hire women to go undercover as police agents, as it were, to get the necessary evidence against the fortune tellers.
We're talking about fortune telling with Dr. Alana Piper. And it's rise and rise, particularly around the turn of the last century and on into World War One. Okay, so they cracked down on it. Was there a form of fortune telling which was most popular? Was it palm reading? Was it crystal balls? What was it?
So palm reading was particularly popular, followed by tarot card reading. Mm-hmm. And crystal gazing were the sort of three main forms that were engaged in.
It's moods change and attitudes change, and it does. I mean, eventually, fortune telling. It's removed from criminal statutes around the country. When does that take place?
Not until the 21st century.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So,
until very recently?
Yeah. Northern Territory was in 2013, but really not till 2001.
You're kidding.
Yeah, that's right. So obviously not prosecuted that much throughout the latter 20th century, although there was another sort of upswitch for similar reasons around World War II and another sort of series of crackdowns.
So it remained on the statute books until into the 21st century everywhere in Australia.
Yeah.
Wow. So I went to the fortune teller to have my fortune read.
Yes.
Was actually a description of a criminal offence.
Yeah, so you didn't engage in criminal activity, but the person who read your fortune did.
Yeah. As you say, it's tied up. It's probably tied up with a prejudice against women in lots of other interesting ways, though, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of the women who were performing this practice back in the Federation period, most of them seem to have been doing it because they had very few other employment options at the time. When they were brought up before court, they often had very sympathetic stories to tell, that they had been abandoned by husbands, for instance, or they'd been left widowed with children to support. And this was really a way that they could earn money while caring for their children. Of course, if women had to go out to service or take other jobs, they would have to usually provide some sort of alternative childcare for their children. But this was something that they could do from their homes and earn a living.
Indeed. Fascinating. All right, Alana, good to talk. Thank you.
Thanks.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.